Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, June 28th, 2012. Humans are storytelling animals, says the introduction to a course being taught by tonight's guests, Brian J. Walsh, an adjunct professor of theology of culture at Wycliffe College in Toronto, and Sherry Corman, a professor of film and new media at Humber College. And this course is being taught at the Trinity College this summer. The course, Film, Prophecy, and Culture, which coincides with the Toronto International Film Festival, will help students develop a biblically theological understanding of contemporary film. Well, Sherry's in the studio with us, and Brian is on the phone from his office in Toronto, and we'll talk to them in a moment about the course. But before we begin our conversation, let's listen to About Love from Steve Bell's Kindness CD. And now to our interview with Brian J. Walsh and Sherry Coman. Good evening, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi, and good evening, Brian.
Hello.
Brian, let's start with you. And sort of where did the idea for this course, Film, Prophecy, and Culture, come from?
Well, I mean, it began really in conversation with some folks who do something similar at the Sundance Forum or Sundance Festival in Utah. Fuller Seminary and Taylor University and Biola, their School of Film, they run a course during the Sundance Festival, and I was invited to go join them one year to see what they were doing, and was incredibly impressed with the level of Christian reflection that was going on during that festival, and also excited about the level of connection that they managed to create with the festival and with directors who were coming through and that sort of thing. And we got thinking about the Toronto International Film Festival, and it just seemed almost criminal that we have one of the largest and most prestigious film festivals in the world happening in our own city here in Toronto, and there is no engaged theological Christian reflection going on during the festival. We thought we better change that.
Get that going. Sherry, how did you get involved?
Actually, I was sort of browsing through the Toronto School of Theology course listings about a year ago at this time and came across a listing for this course. And my first thought was, somebody's doing this without me. because it, to me, was a perfect and beautiful intersection of the things I have passion for. And so I was in contact with Brian and sort of initially asking if I could sit in. And then in his generous way, and as things unfolded, we ended up collaborating somewhat during that first time mm-hmm. round.
So, Brian, what's your role in this course?
Well, Sherry and I will co-teach the course. And so what we'll be doing is we'll be gathering a group of students before the festival for a couple of sessions to reflect on faith and film, sort of the foundational issues, and also help them to learn how to read a film, and Sherry will be especially helpful with that. And then during the festival, we will go to at least five films together. We'll encourage students to see more. And then we'll reflect on those films together. Students will write film reviews and also major paper.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry and I then co-teach that and grade those papers and attempt to mentor those students.
Okay. Well, before we get into some of the details on all of that, I just sort of wonder, Sherry, you're at Humber. You teach film and new media. How did your interest in film and that get started?
That's a cradle thing for me. I think my father helped to found the cinema program at Seneca College, and I grew up with projections in my living room. I learned how to thread a Bell & Howell projector at a very young age. So,
some of our later listeners will go, a what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, projector was no. I studied film. I went to the American Film Institute in Los Angeles and did an MFA in screenwriting. And from there, have been working independently as a consultant in the film and television industry since then, mostly as a story editor.
And so, in looking at that, what are some of your favorite films? I mean, you must have been introduced to some of the greats along the way, greatest films in that.
I mean, some of the sessions at AFI were incredible because we would have these amazing screenings, and then you'd cross the hall to the classroom, and the filmmaker or the star would be sitting there waiting to talk to you. So that was kind of an amazing way to begin that. But a lot of my favorite films are very much tied to theological ideas, and I think particularly of Kieslowski, the great Polish filmmaker, and his Three Colors series and his Decalogue series. Those are my I think probably my favorite films.
And Brian, same question. When did you get interested in film?
Oh, I imagine it was also as not as young as Sherry, but as a teenager. And especially, in fact, after my conversion to Christian faith, which happened when I was 16, then all of a sudden I became interested in more serious films, not films that were just there for my entertainment, and films that were going to push us to reflect on the deepest issues of life. So since my teen years, and then for quite a number of years, again, not as many years as Sherry, I was pretty faithful going to the Toronto International Film Festival. I would just book off that week and spend days in dark rooms watching the silver screen. Some of my favorite film directors, you know, certainly I did the whole Woody Allen thing for many years. Anybody with any philosophical interest wants to do Woody mm-hmm. Allen. And then Francois Truffaut and Federico Fellini, those kinds of directors have always been pretty important to me.
Well, looking, and I'll ask both you and Sherry, if there's just a film that you want to sit down and watch just to be entertained rather than to think, and I mean, the two do not necessarily, aren't necessarily synonymous, but then they're also not totally distinct either. But what kind of film would that be? Sherry, we'll start with you.
So is this a guilty pleasure question?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what are your guilty pleasures?
I enjoy some British comedy as guilty pleasure. I like the writing of Richard Curtis, you know, films like Notting Hill, Love Actually. You know, I will watch those. I don't think they're great films, but they are late night wind down things for me.
Brian, same question.
Well, my answer is going to excite some of your listenership and worry some of your listeners.
Uh-oh.
You know, I really like the Harry Potter series. And I can sit with my kids and rewatch Harry Potter films over and over again.
I think that makes total sense because mm-hmm. there's an incredible storytelling going on in that series in terms of and really fine film craftsmanship as well.
Yeah, and I'll confess here, mine is Lord of the Rings or Star Wars. Our family does a Lord of the Rings marathon every New Year's Day.
Right.
So, and we watch the extended versions. So anyway, we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Brian J. Walsh and Sherry Coleman and talk about some of the details of the Film Prophecy and Culture course that's taking place this summer at Trinity College. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Lord of the Starfields from Steve Bell's My Dinner with Bruce CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Sherry Coleman and Brian J. Walsh. And of course, Brian, that was just for you.
you could have had Bruce Coburn do it, but
yeah,
fine version.
Yeah, it is a good version. Looking back at the film aspect, in the introduction and some of the things I've seen, some of the promo material, it says that, quote, you're engaging a two-way dialogue between film and Christian theology where students will develop a biblically theological understanding of contemporary film. Sherry, start with you. Can you unpack that for me? What exactly are you trying to say is going to happen there in less than academic language?
I think we're going to look at films that look at very important contemporary issues and issues of social justice, and we're going to reflect on them theologically, you know, reflect on what it means to us as Christians living in this age to be living in a world that is experiencing all kinds of extreme situations and how that's reflected through film.
And Brian, why is that important?
Well, I think it's important because humans are incurably storytellers. And we orient our lives, we make sense out of our lives by means of story. In fact, if you look at problems in mental health, often the problem in mental health is when the story no longer has coherence, or you're living in multiple stories and you can't make sense out of it, or your story is delusional. So story making and storytelling is simply at the heart of human meaning making. So, and if we think about where our stories told in the most powerful and formative way in our own culture, they alas are not around the campfire anymore, but rather they are in front of a screen.
Well, and that's interesting though. The image that immediately came to mind is both of them are areas where you have light, both in a campfire and in a movie theater, are areas that are typically dark, but you've got a light that's coming forth as part of that storytelling vehicle.
Okay, with that insight, you get free admission. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm involved in scouting. I do campfires all the time. But that was that just sort of hit me.
Well, and you know how important that storytelling around the campfire is.
Yeah.
You know, you can do silly stuff, and that's great. But you can do profound stuff around a campfire that can be deeply transformative in a kid's life, you know, hearing those stories. Well, I think the same thing happens in the films. So, and I think that the way in which Christians have reacted to film, of course, the initial reaction was rejection. This was of the spirit of the air, etc. And then they moved from that to simply appropriating film and often without very much critical discernment. Or we use film, especially in more contemporary church settings, film clips become sermon illustrations.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So you find a little clip and you use that as an illustration in your sermon. And in each of these instances, it's using film. We're looking for a dialogue. So we're looking to see how engaging film as Christians helps us to see things going on in the film that perhaps others don't see, perhaps even that the director doesn't necessarily see. So coming at the film from a Christian perspective gives us a certain vision, but also seeing the world through the vision of the film opens up the world to us and might indeed even open up the scriptures to us and open up new theological questions that we now need to struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for a dialogue and we're looking for a process of interpretation that takes the film as film very seriously. So that we're not going to a film with a clear set of Christian presuppositions that will function as the grid by which we will judge the merits of a film. We come with Christian presuppositions, but we come with a spirit of hospitality, sort of an intellectual hospitality, a visual hospitality, waiting with bated breath to see what the filmmaker is going to show us.
Yeah, and all that's going to take place as part of the Toronto International Film Festival that, you know, you're using as part of your classroom. And Sherry, I want you to sort of give our listeners an idea of what TIFF is all about, because there may be some people out there that are not familiar with it.
Sure. The Toronto International Film Festival has been going for over 30 years, and it's been slowly growing into probably the most important exhibition and market festival in the world. And what that means is that not only do film lovers come to the films, but people who are looking to buy and distribute movies as well come to Toronto more than any other place. As a result, what happens is you have this fantastic intersection of the public filmmaking, the public world of film fandom, and the marketplace, the business of making films, and they can be in direct relationship with each other, and they can actually respond to each other, and they do through question and answer Q&As that happen after screenings, through director appearances, and so on. So it helps to shape the way in which the film season from September to June will look in North America for the rest of that particular year, and that's borne out. Films get made or broken at Toronto, and that's a clear fact. You look at Slumdog Millionaire, Precious. These were the audience film favorites of the last few years, and they went on to Academy Awards and so on.
Yeah, and looking at that, so have you looked at this year's slate and determined which films you're going to go in? I think Brian mentioned that there are five films that you're going to go and see.
At least five, and we encourage them to go to others as well. Whoops, I just lost my earphones there. What I do is I start watching the films that are being talked about and being exhibited at the film festivals around the world beginning in January. And we've just come through several very significant film festivals.
Yeah,
the most recent one, of course, was Cannes.
Yeah.
And from that, I start making a list. And the film festival starts to release. In a few weeks, they'll start releasing the names of the some programmed films. But it's really July and August when I cull that list down to a very, very sort of fine list of what we're looking for. But I do have early favorites coming out of Cannes. And we'll have to see, you know, how that bears out. Not everything comes to Toronto.
Right. So what are some of the favorites that you've seen so far?
I like the sort of the sort of darker, more complex films out of Northern Europe. And there's a Danish film called Hunter that I'm quite interested in, about a man who's been wrongfully, one would assume, I haven't seen the film yet, accused of abuse of a child, and how he sort of manages to overcome and to live that out and to overcome it. And there's a lot there already that I've mm-hmm. seen just in clips and in trailers that tell me that would be useful for our course, and comes from a director and an actor whom I deeply respect, so in terms of their work.
Yeah, Brian, is there anything that you've seen come as potentials that you would like to have the students take a look at?
Can't really say. The film selection side of things is something that I depend pretty much totally on Sherry for. She's the one who's got her ear to the ground on this stuff. So
and it's early days, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, we need to take one final break, and when we do, we'll finish our conversation with Brian J. Walsh and Sherry Coleman. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Here by the Water from Steve Bell's Juno Award-winning CD, Romantics and Mystics. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Brian J. Walsh and Sherry Coleman. At the beginning of the interview, Brian, you talked about some of the expectations you have for the students in terms of the type of things they're going to do. What do you hope that the students will come away with at the end of the course, after they've seen the films, they've had interaction with some of the people that were involved in them, they've written the papers, they've had the discussions. What's sort of your hope for that?
Yeah, that's a great question. On one level, you know, of course, we're hoping that they would develop film literacy, that they would develop certain kinds of skills of viewing and discerning and reflecting on film. But, you know, most importantly, for me, the course is called Film Prophecy and Culture. And that notion of prophecy, we're borrowing on Walter Brueggemann's notion of a prophetic imagination. And storytelling is about the shaping of the imagination. Films are, of course, all about images and shaping of the imagination. So what I'm most concerned about is that students come out of this course with a deeper imagination and a more deeply prophetic imagination, so that the way in which they engage Scripture and hear Scripture and read Scripture is deepened because of the dialogue that they've engaged in with film. And then the opposite side as well, that the way in which they now view film is deepened, and that the whole imagination that shapes their lives would come to a more deeply Christian place.
Mm-hmm. Sherry, what are your hopes for the students?
I mean, I think that expresses it beautifully. I think I would also hope that they will be somewhat more connected to the idea that the filmmaker also brings a prophetic imagination and brings a desire to convey something specific in what they do, and the degree to which we can engage that and continue it in our own talk and thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Once you're done with this, are there any other projects you're working on? Start with you, Sherry.
Oh my gosh! Well, as a doctoral student, I'm always have work on my desk. and as a teacher also.
Yeah.
So.
Brian, anything else you're working on right now?
I'm working on a book with my wife Sylvia Kiesmack called Romans Disarmed, trying to bring about a renewed reading of the Epistle to the Romans.
Okay. And where can people get more information about film prophecy and culture?
Certainly from the Toronto School of Theology website.
Okay.
Go there and find the course, and then the email address. At least my email address is on the website.
Right, and the deadline for sign up for that is, I think, within a couple of days from the day this is aired.
Yeah.
Yep.
The 30th.
Great. Sherry, Brian, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guests, Sherry Coleman and Brian J. Walsh. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.